When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is the Exxon Broadcast Network, broadcasting worldwide on broadcast affiliates and satellite program providers, including CNN Broadcast Network, Sirius Satellite Network, Star Media, Good News Radio Network, Angel Broadcast Network, Wiki Broadcast Network, and WPBN-TV. For more information on the X-Zone Broadcast Network, visit us at www.xzbn.net.
Whether you're a skeptic or a believer, join me, Rob McConnell, on the X Zone TV show, coming soon to screens of all sizes. On the X Zone TV show, we'll investigate UFOs,
ghosts,
alien abductions,
demonic possession,
psychic phenomenon,
angels,
lake monsters,
Bigfoot,
unsolved mysteries, and all subject matter from within the world of the paranormal and the science of parapsychology, and much, much more. The X Zone TV show with yours truly, Rob McConnell.
www.xzonetv.com
is a Relmar McConnell Media Company and Airplay Media production. Unwilling to be the government's deadly assassin, gifted psychic Kahara Mitchell went AWOL and ended up buried under rubble in the wake of a great tsunami. She regained consciousness far from Earth on the medical ship of a Daggeronian intergalactic fleet. Has she been rescued or abducted by aliens? The Chalice of Kari, Kahira O'Donnell's latest paranormal science fiction romance, is the passionate story of an Earthwoman and her destined mates, twin kings from another galaxy. Kahara uses her gifts fighting alongside Lords Rom and Ra in a war that will determine the destiny of galaxies. The Chalice of Kari by Kahira O'Donnell is now available at KahiraO'Donnell.com or at Amazon.com.
All Hit Radio.
Welcome to the X-Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
Till the morning light. I see us on the shore beneath And welcome back to the X Zone, everyone. My name is Rob McConnell, coming to you from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, on the all-new X Zone Broadcast Network and the Talkstar Radio Network. My email address is xzone@xzoneradiotv.com, on MSN Messenger, xzoneradiotv@hotmail.com, and our website, www.xzoneradiotv.com. My guest this hour is a good friend of the X-Zone. John Michael Greer is his name. And John Michael Greer has been a student of monster lore and the occult since 1975. He is also the author of several books, including Natural Magic, Potions and Powers from the Magical Garden, Circles of Power, Ritual Magic in the Western Tradition, and Inside a Magical Lodge. He has written articles for Renaissance Magazine, Golden Dawn Journal, Meslim, New Moon Rising, Gnosis, and Alexandria. A student and practitioner of geomancy and sacred geometry for more than 20 years, fluent in Latin and medieval French for the past 5 years, and a certified tarot grandmaster, John Michael Greer has studied geomantic texts from the Middle Ages and Renaissance, learning and testing out the techniques that were used when geomancy was at its height. John Michael Greer is an active member of 5 fraternal and 2 magical lodges, and he's joining us tonight to talk about one of his new books. This man writes more books than anyone I know. The name of the book that we're going to be talking about in the first part of the show is The UFO Phenomenon: Fact, Fantasy, and Disinformation. And John Michael Greer, welcome back to the X Zone. How are you, John?
Doing very well. It's a pleasure to be on again.
It's great having you with us, John. Your new book is about UFOs, and the subtitle is Fact, Fantasy, and Disinformation. Three very interesting aspects of ufology.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You know, here we are.
Well, the thing is, go ahead.
Go ahead, sir.
There's one of the problems with the whole UFO phenomenon is that partly it isn't just one phenomenon. I think the thing that has caused more confusion than anything else is the fact that people have been trying to get all of these extremely diverse experiences under a single head. And there are some things going on that are unquestionably factual. There are some things going on that are pretty clearly fantasy, and there are some things going on that involve the deliberate manipulation of information. Disinformation, as the phrase is.
You know, I came up with a theory several months ago where if there is a UFO conspiracy, it's not the government that is maintaining it or perpetrating it. It's actually members of the UFO community. Because as long as they are pointing the finger and saying that there is a government conspiracy, they do not have to produce any evidence to the actual existence of UFOs, because anything that they would want to show has already been confiscated and taken by the government in their so-called conspiracy.
That's funny. So in other words, yeah, the government conspiracy is so good that's why we don't have any evidence. It's all their fault.
Well, that's what the UFO community is saying loud and clear.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the people out there who insist that, oh, say the Freemasons or somebody run the world, and the fact that there's no evidence for this just proves how clever they are.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things that has to be understood in dealing with UFOs and with that whole phenomenon and many other phenomena is that there's not just one group of people who are trying to manipulate the information.
And you see, that's where the big surprise comes, because when it comes to the manipulation of information, according to what ufologists and researchers would like us to believe, the manipulation comes from the government.
Well, I would start by saying, which government? Because not all governments have the same agenda in this situation. It's been tolerably well documented, for example, that the Soviet Union, back when there was a Soviet Union, used, quote, UFO sightings, unquote, as a cover for some of their aerospace testing. One of the things I suggest in my book is that they basically copped that look from the United States government, which has been doing the same thing for a long time, and that other countries around the world have used, it must be a UFO, as a very convenient cover for having airplanes or other technologies someplace where they weren't supposed to be.
John, stand by. You and I have to take our first break. John Michael Greer is our special guest Here's the website, ExoNation, redroom.com/author/John-Michael-Greer. We'll be back on the other side of this break. Don't go away.
How would you like to be able to read other people's minds? Well, the next best thing is here. When you know how to read a person's name, you know how the person thinks, feels, and behaves. Each letter in our name holds a key to unlock our true essence. Our name contains both our gifts and challenges in this lifetime. Nemology science discovers personality secrets hidden in the placement of the letters of our names, including the first and last impression people remember about us. Sharon shows us how to interpret the arrangement of letters as outlined in her book, Know the Name, Know the Person. Sharon Lynn Wyeth created Nemology Science after 18 years of research and testing her theories and has supported thousands of people around the world in understanding themselves and others better. You'll enjoy Sharon's unique teachings as she shares her system to learn the gifts behind your given birth name. Even if you don't like your birth name, there are jewels in this book. If you're thinking of changing your name, ready to name your child, or wanting to get along better with others, this is the book for you. If you'd like to improve your relationships and change your life for the better, get the book today, Know the Name, Know the Person, or visit www.knowthename.com. That's www.knowthename.com. Rob McConnell here, presenting an overview for Nicholas Paul Jennings, author of a fascinating book, Amen. It presents facts revealed by Egyptologists, facts that enable us to understand why Amen is the beginning of creation of God. It provides recommendations for religious leaders of the major religions to unify their beliefs and teach the word of God, love one another. Amen informs people how mankind conceived God. It was the Egyptians that developed the concepts of a soul, a hereafter, and son of God. And finally, after the worship of many gods, they conceived the belief in one universal God, the maker of all there is. For more information, visit www.futureofgodamen.com. That's www.futureofgodamen.com. Whether you're a skeptic or a believer, join me, Rob McConnell, on the X Zone TV show, coming soon to screens of all sizes. On the X Zone TV show, we'll investigate UFOs,
ghosts,
alien abductions,
demonic possession,
psychic phenomenon,
angels,
lake monsters,
Bigfoot,
unsolved mysteries, and all subject matter from within the world of the paranormal and the science of parapsychology, and much, much more. The X Zone TV show with yours truly, Rob McConnell,
www.xzonetv.com,
is a Relmar McConnell Media Company and Airplay Media production.
I'll tell you about the magic.
John Michael Greer is my special guest this hour. www.redroom.com/author/John-Michael-Greer. Mike, John, we're more than 60 years into the UFO era, and a fair-sized library of books have been written about the phenomenon. Is there anything new to say about it? Or is it
Or is it the same old
being hashed over again?
Well, we've been hearing the same old, same old, same old for about 60 years now. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean there's nothing that's left to say. It means that the entire debate has become mired in a couple of completely unproductive assumptions. Talk to almost anybody in the UFO community or these days outside of it, and you'll find one of two opinions. Either UFOs are nuts and bolts spaceships from some alien civilization, or they are entirely hoaxes, misidentifications, and delusions. Those are the only two hypotheses people are willing to talk about, and there's an assumption that if one is false, the other must be true. This is hardly logical.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
No, it's not.
I mean, the fact is that unidentified things seen in the sky, which is what UFO means, after all. It doesn't mean alien spacecraft. Unidentified things seen in the sky can have many different origins, and we need to get past those assumptions and actually start talking about what do people actually see, what is influencing what they see, and what might be behind it.
What does the history of the phenomenon have to do with figuring out what's really out there or up there?
Well, the history is crucial because, I mean, if you were a scientist actually researching a phenomenon instead of either trying to debunk it or trying to insist on some preconceived notion, you start by figuring out what is the phenomenon, how does it change over time? And the thing that you're going to find out if you track the UFO phenomenon over time is that it changes in lockstep with popular culture, and popular culture changes first. Across the board, you see something in the UFO world out of popular, that, you know, if you see something showing up in the sky, people reporting UFOs, look back a few years or even a couple of decades, and you'll find that it was in popular culture first. This doesn't offer any support to the claim that these are aliens from space. It does suggest there are some very complex feedback loops going on.
And, you know, we've seen this over the years where a movie comes out, people go to see it, whether it's E.T., Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Independence Day, after the movie, incidents rise, and then they fall. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a peak, but up and down, goodbye.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also the case that the type of incidents that are reported are directly influenced by movies and other media phenomena in advance. For example, the flying saucer, the disc-shaped spacecraft buzzing through the sky, that was actually invented by science fiction magazine cover artists. The first one that I've been able to track was in 1917. And only after they had saturated the magazine covers through the era of the pulps in the 30s and 40s, especially on the pages of Amazing Science Fiction, Ray Palmer's extremely famous lowbrow science fiction rag, did people start seeing them in the sky. In the same way, abductions became an issue after abductions started showing up in popular culture in the form of books and movies.
So how do we go through the people who are making the claims of these sightings to those who have actually had a sighting of something that they cannot understand within the realm of reality, to those who are just profiting from the phenomenon?
It's a challenge. It's a real challenge. One of the things that basically needs to happen is to take a step back from the individual cases. Because especially the famous cases these days, you get a situation like Roswell, you get the Benny and Barney Hill case, you get any of a dozen others that have become the big cases. And at this point, they are so surrounded by layers of mythology, both pro-alien and pro-debunker mythology, that it's almost impossible to figure out what actually goes on. Look at the phenomenon over a broader spectrum. Say, what changes are happening to it in the 40s, in the 50s, in the 60s, in the 70s? How does it change, and what else tracks those same changes? Then you start getting a hint of what's behind the whole thing, of the very complex causes of this extremely complex phenomenon.
All right, when we look at the Betty and Barney Hill case, we look at Roswell, and let's just concentrate on Roswell for a second.
Mm-hmm.
All these years afterwards, there's a lot of hype, there's a lot of speculation, there's a lot of he said, she said, he saw, they saw in this entire scenario. And to coin the phrase from the Little Wendy's lady, that where's the beef? There is no proof. There is no evidence. And what would have happened to the Roswell case if Stanton Friedman had not written his book?
Yeah. Well, you have Stanton Friedman's book. You go back before you get the one that Charles Berlitz did with the other two researchers that really put it back on the map. And the fascinating thing about that book is that it actually lifted most of its, or many of its details, from an earlier book about a completely faked UFO crash at Aztec, one that was just invented by a couple of con artists who sold the story to Frank Scully. And so you get the situation. Here's another place where history matters. Look at the details and say, where have I seen that before? And in many cases, again, you can trace it to popular culture, you can trace it to themes moving through the UFO community as they're elaborated in more and more versions. You could just kind of track it back and say, what was actually going on in the summer of 1947? And that actually becomes a very interesting question, because you notice, among other things, that the kind of UFOs that were being seen in 1947 are not being seen today. The things that people reported and photographed during the big UFO flap in the summer of 47, in late June, early July 1947, right, were silver, round or spherical objects at high altitude. That's what they saw.
So how come the change?
Yeah. So we had these spherical daylight objects, which were seen quite frequently during that flap and a couple of others later. After the mid-1950s, the phenomenon changed to bright lights at high altitude. Primarily, that was the thing. There are some other things that we're also experiencing, and that becomes a complex matter. Of course, I think everyone is now aware of the black triangles, which showed up in the very early 1980s and became a big deal for a while. Now, ask yourself this. Who was doing something with spherical silver objects in the 1940s? Lights at high altitude in the 1950s and 60s, black triangles in the 1980s.
The U.S. government.
The U.S. Air Force. We're talking about a history of American aerial espionage.
That's right.
In the 1940s and early 1950s, the hot technology for aerial espionage was high altitude balloons.
Yeah.
1954 saw the U-2 enter service. And the early 1960s, you had the SR-71, both of which you see anomalous lights moving like stars against the background at very high altitude at dawn or dusk. 1980, the hottest thing and the most secret thing in the U.S. Military cupboard was the first stealth planes.
I remember, John, that there were people who would rent vans and Doppler radar units in droves and head up to the hills surrounding Area 51.
Mm-hmm.
And see these lights in the sky and had no idea why they were not getting a radar return.
Well, there you go.
Hello.
Because in fact, that's where the stealth prototype Havoo was being tested.
That's
one
right.
of the places.
Yeah.
And so, and in fact, one of the things that is most interesting to me about the whole UFO phenomenon is that, except for the fact that they got the one central thing wrong, many of the UFO believers are right about a lot of things. Are they right that there's something really, really funny associated with UFOs going on at Area 51? Absolutely. That's where America's spy plane fleet was based for decades. Are they right that the government's hiding something? Of course they're right. It's just that it's not spacecraft from another civilization. It's, fairly well-documented aerial espionage technologies. Are they right that the government has been turning out disinformation? Absolutely. What I don't think they've grasped is that the whole story that these things are aliens from space is part of the disinformation.
And they're not grasping the fact that this is all being done in a matter of national security.
And totally well-documented stuff. Yeah. You can go back and get a lot of information on the old spy balloon tests of the 40s and 50s. I mean, the United States flew barrages of spy balloons over the Soviet Union from one end to the other. The Russians, under Khrushchev, displayed one of them at a big international conference in a high state of fury at one point. You know, it's all very well documented, but because everyone's looking for little green men or grays from Zeta Reticuli or what have you, nobody's looking at, okay, what's the connection? Well, you know, what was it? Would have been seven? What? Let's see, seven? Yeah, just a very short time before the whole UFO thing took off. 3 years. The preparations for D-Day, when the United States and Britain manufactured a complete fake army to buffalo the Germans to thinking we were going to invade France in a different place than we were.
Oh, I remember this one.
You remember that stuff? Yep. One of the lessons of that most people don't realize is that you have several layers of deception. You don't just hide the truth underneath one layer of fraud. You set up at least two, and maybe more than two, frauds in opposition to one another and get them fighting back and forth. The German high command was in a tizzy over which of the false invasion plans were true. And they finally settled on the one across, right across from Dover at the Pas de Calais, because that's the one that looked most plausible. It's just that it was made to look plausible.
Isn't that where
the actual invasion was taking place in Normandy, quite some distance away, and they didn't realize it?
Isn't that where they had tanks that were actually made of balloon inflatable tanks and other?
Yeah, they had inflatable tanks. Yeah. They had entire military bases that were staffed by small crews of actors who were supposed to scurry around looking as busy as possible. They were planting fake documents. They had aerial reconnaissance going in places where they had no intention of invading. They had one group of people who were set up to convince the Germans that we were going to invade Norway. Another batch that was trying to convince them we were going to invade Greece.
Hey, John, stand by, friend. You and I have to take our news break at the bottom of the hour.
Oh, yeah.
John Michael Greer is our special guest. And John and I will be back on the other side of this commercial break as we continue from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Don't go away.
Whether you're a skeptic or a believer, join me, Rob McConnell, on the X-Zone TV show, coming soon to screens of all sizes. On the X-Zone TV show, we'll investigate UFOs,
ghosts,
alien abductions,
demonic possession,
psychic phenomenon,
angels,
lake monsters,
Bigfoot,
unsolved mysteries, and all subject matter from within the world of the paranormal and the science of parapsychology, and much, much more. The X-Zone TV show with yours truly, Rob McConnell.
www.xzonetv.com
is a Relmar McConnell Media Company and Airplay Media production. Do you think you have energy problems in your home? Do you feel better when you're away than when you're home? Joey Korn is a global leader in the world of dowsing who specializes in personal energy clearing and space clearing. He can help you create an ideal energy environment in your home no matter where you live in the world. Learn about his remote spiritual house cleaning services and much more at www.dowsers.com. You can get Joey's book, Dowsing, A Path to Enlightenment, as well as other dowsing books and tools, Kabbalah books, and Walter Russell books. Joey's work is really amazing. Go to dowsers.com right now. That's dowsers.com or call 1-877-DOWSING. That's 1-877-369-7464.
With each new extreme weather event or terrorist act, it becomes increasingly obvious that we live in uncertain and challenging times. We all buy car insurance. Why not collapse and catastrophe insurance? Matthew Stein, an MIT-trained engineer and green builder, has written two outstanding books to help people prepare, plan for, and deal with everything from minor situations lasting a few days to full-on collapse. Matt's first book, When Technology Fails, is a manual for self-reliance, sustainable living, and surviving the long emergency. This massive book covers the gamut from first aid and emergency preparedness to alternative healing, renewable energy, primitive living skills, and 18th century technologies that could be critical to your comfort and survival in a long-lasting crisis. Matt's second book, When Disaster Strikes, is a comprehensive emergency preparedness handbook and survival guide. When Disaster Strikes is an essential item for every family's go bag. Both books are available at all usual sources. There's a wealth of totally free information posted at whentechfails.com, and author signed copies may be purchased at mattstein.com. That's www.whentechfails.com and www.mattstein.com.
My name is Michael Telstar, Canada's leading mentalist from Toronto, Ontario.
Hi, my name is Splenda, and you're listening to my dad, Ron McConnell, on the XM.
This is Psychic Dorothy from St. Catharines, and you're listening to Rob McConnell.
Hello, my name is Holly Reeves, an astrologer from Astro4U, and you're listening to Canada's number one paranormal radio show, The X-Zone.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Rob McConnell.
Welcome to the X-Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
Welcome back, everyone. John Michael Greer is our special guest. www.redroom.com/author/John-Michael-Greer. Greer, and we're talking about John's new book. It's entitled The UFO Phenomena, Fact, Fantasy, and Disinformation. Why is it, John, that people have a desire to be part of the UFO community, even if they have never seen a UFO, but they're internet experts? So what do you believe their prime directive is?
Well, I mean, to some extent, you can't make an assumption like that without overgeneralizing. There's a lot of reasons why people get caught up in something like this, and I suspect it varies fairly dramatically from person to person. There's always simple things like the conviction that there's something going on, and we need to find out what it is. Maybe you believe passionately in the idea that there are alien civilizations out there visiting, and believing in UFOs is a way of expressing that faith. Maybe you've become convinced that the world is in deep trouble and that we have to have help from somewhere. So your faith in UFOs is like a devout Christian's faith in the imminence of the Second Coming. There's a lot of things that draw people to this mythology. And I think the UFO thing needs to be understood, as Carl Jung pointed out a long time ago, as a mythology, as a set of emotionally powerful narratives that many people find very compelling. That unfortunately also makes it very difficult to talk sensibly about what's actually going on there, because, as with any mythology, people don't like it when you ask hard questions about the facts.
But didn't Jung also say that flying saucers were actually psychological projection?
Well, he was not perfectly certain about that. He suggested at one point in his essay on the subject that there might be a physical reality behind them. He suggested another point that whatever was going on, they were certainly powerful symbols that came out of the split world of the Cold War era as an image of wholeness, images of totality, kind of a mandala symbol. And he found them popping up in dreams like anything, as you'd expect. Really, his essay on the subject is one of the more useful things that have been written about UFOs, and I wish more people would pay attention to kind of the subtext that he's saying, look, these are a creation of a particular historical period, a projection of its fears, its hopes, and its dreams. If there is a physical reality behind the phenomenon, or behind certain parts of the phenomenon, we need to get past our own habit of projecting our hopes and fears onto it, like so many patterns onto an ink blot, and actually look at what people are experiencing. And then, some potentially very unusual, potentially useful discoveries can be made.
John, you also say the whole debate about UFOs has gotten stuck in a quarrel between two belief systems, and neither one of them is all that convincing. Now, what do you mean by that?
Well, look at the debunkers and the ETH people, the extraterrestrial hypothesis people. If it's a UFO, it must be an alien spaceship. If it's a UFO, it must be a hoax, a delusion, or a simple misidentification. Those are the belief systems. They're the only beliefs that most people are willing to approach on the subject. That didn't used to be true. Back as late as the mid-1950s, there were actually a wide range of hypotheses about what these mysterious lights and objects seen in the sky might be. But we've become stuck in these two alternative views, both of which use an appalling range of false logic to justify their claims. And that's as true of the debunkers, by the way, as anyone else. These folks who go around calling themselves the defenders of reason use some of the worst logic I've seen in any public debate in a long time. And neither one of them is grappling with the basic rules of evidence and logic. Just because something is seen in the sky does not mean you can automatically assume it's either a delusion or a spacecraft in Zeta Reticuli. And just because there's an object seen in the sky doesn't mean that all objects seen in the sky can be categorized in one, as coming from a single cause. Both sides tend to make that latter assumption all the time, and it reduces a lot of what they're trying to say to gibberish.
What are some of the things that you believe UFOs could actually be?
Well, We've already talked about the possibility that a fair number of UFOs, of the quote UFO unquote sightings, are in fact unidentified because they are secret aerospace technologies or aerospace technologies that were secret at the time they were sighted, whether high altitude spy balloons in the 1940s and 50s, spy planes thereafter. There are some quote UFO crashes unquote that are pretty clearly American spy satellites. And so there's a whole range of things like that. There's also a range of stuff that you can really only describe by calling it shamanic experience. Take your basic abductee story and compare it to a good anthropological account of shamanism. Mircea Eliade's book, Shamanism, is a great example. And you'll find that it's basically the same story. You know, people are, you know, they're lying in bed or they're in some kind of liminal state, and all of a sudden these mysterious beings come and lift them out of themselves and take them into another world where strange things are done to them. And they come back, and a lot of times thereafter they report having psychic experiences and things like this. It's basic shamanism. It's just that we don't believe in spirits anymore, so we have to call our spirits little green men from Zeta Reticula. And then there's at least one other phenomenon, arguably. There are balls of light that have been seen in all different cultures, fairly close to the ground, bobbing around, and nobody's quite sure what they are. There have been some very interesting speculations that they may be a geomagnetic phenomenon. They may be a plasma phenomenon. They are not intelligent, as far as we know, but they are also folded into the UFO mythology, the UFO phenomenon, because any light in the sky has to be an alien spacecraft. So there are at least these three things going on. There's also probably quite a bit more.
What about all the evidence the evidence of government involvement in UFO sightings, John?
Well, I think that's totally predictable, given that the UFO phenomenon has been manipulated by the U.S. government and other governments as a cover for their own activities. I personally suspect that involvement has gone to the extent of faking sightings. I mean, if you go back, especially in the 1950s. And look at the number of, quote, classic sightings, unquote, that were reported either by military personnel or by people who were under certain military regulations, airline pilots, for example, who were, for quite some years, subject to federal felony charges if they reported a UFO sighting, and yet they reported UFO sightings and nobody was prosecuted for it. That makes perfect sense if the UFO sightings, quote, unquote, that were under discussion were American spy plane tests and things like that, and if the ones who reported things were being requested to report things to muddy the waters. You know, again, we were talking about the D-Day cover-up,
yes.
All that kind of stuff before, the stuff that was used to mislead the Germans. That kind of thing is a standard ploy in warfare, has been for a very long time. During the Cold War, was there reason to do it? Of course there was. Were there Russian spies in the United States? Yes, we know that. Were there other ways that the Soviet Union was very interested in getting information about our technologies? Well, of course. Was there every reason why the United States might have jumped on the UFO thing, or whatever its original sources might have been, and used it as a cover? Of course.
Especially when they saw how the public was going to gobble it up, and it gave them the perfect screen.
Yeah, exactly. You know, my own guess is that the original 1947 flap was caused by a secret test of spy balloons. And nobody in the government thought that people were going to go, oh my God, it's spacecraft from another planet. But as soon as they did so, you know, the guys in D.C., Langley and whatever, looked at each other and said, you know, we could make use of this.
Mm-hmm.
And so all through the 50s in particular, then again, especially during the stealth era of the early 80s, before our stealth aircraft were made public, you know, it was deliberately manipulated as a way of providing a certain amount of camouflage for very, very sensitive, aerospace things. As far as I can tell, the whole thing has basically been folded up at this point. You notice that UFO sightings have just kind of dried up.
Yes.
There's probably, what, maybe a billion people in the world these days walking around with a cell phone with a camera in it. And you'd think that some of those people would, like, see the silvery disks buzzing by and snap pictures of them, and it's not happening. So I think basically, probably with the demise of the Stealth, or possibly some of the handful of later spy planes, the Aurora project, which proved to be such a white elephant, that whole operation has been kind of folded up and stuck in a drawer someplace. I don't imagine that it's been completely discontinued because, you know, hey, it might be useful someday.
Where do you think the UFO phenomenon will go from here, John?
My guess, unless, again, there's some really good reason to float mm-hmm. some new spy plane venture under its cover, and that might be kind of pushing the matter at this point, my guess is that it's just going to wind down the way spiritualism did, the way so many other alternative reality views have done in American culture. We have this thing. We get into these fads, and they become these huge cause célèbres. They become these massive issues, and there's a lot of bickering, a lot of debate, and then it just kind of dries up, and you end up with these little coteries of true believers off in the corner somewhere. 100 years from now, there may still be these little UFO groups who are talking about Roswell and Betty and Barney Hill and so on, and still insisting that someday, really soon, we're going to have full disclosure and it's going to, you know, the UFO on the White House lawn or what have you. Because that's the way these things happen. It's become just another subculture, just another alternative subculture, and sharply at variance with kind of the mainstream worldview. And it can continue for a long time. I mean, there's a lot of spiritualist churches still out there, still basically doing the same mm-hmm. thing that their great-great-great-grandparents were doing in the 1860s and 70s.
Tell me, John, do you believe we're alone out there?
Not at all. I think there's every reason to think there are a lot of planets with life on them. We know there are planets all over the universe. Our space telescopes are starting to spot them at this point. And to the point that it's ho-hum, another dozen planets found. And I think it's quite reasonable that they have life forms. I have my doubts about the idea that it's possible to travel from star to star simply because of the energy concentration that's needed. You need so much energy to cover those immense distances. And energy in that kind of concentration, that kind of convenience, well, we're learning right now, the world, our planet, is starting to look at the limits to how long it can maintain the kind of high energy technology it has now, mm-hmm. because we're rapidly exhausting our supplies of fossil fuels and nothing else is stepping up to the plate. It wouldn't surprise me a bit if, you know, out across the galaxies there are many, many, many other intelligent species that have been through this exact same curve. You know, they've had their sort of rise time. They've developed a high energy technology, had a brief period having lots of big, loud, fancy machines, and maybe done a little space travel, and then settled down and had to learn within their means. Or had to learn to live within their means. We may get a radio message from them someday. I don't know. We may never know. But I suspect right now there are people, you know, beings, probably nothing like us, you know, looking up at the sky from some distant planet and, you know, looking out at the stars and going, I wonder if there's anyone out there.
I talked to Seth Shostak from SETI a number of times, and I've said, Seth, how do you know that the transmissions that they're sending will be able to be received or even heard by the SETI program?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we really don't know that.
No. They could be. They could.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Be sending out things in X-ray bursts or something. I mean, it's a mistake to assume that we the technology of another, of a completely alien species, the product of a completely alien biosphere, would be anything at all like what we call technology.
Plus, we're carbon-based units. They might be silicon-based units.
They could be anything. It could be a hot planet with where metal salts are combining in ways that you don't get under any conditions you find on Earth. They could be totally different chemistry. And even if they're carbon-based, it's going to be a completely different chemistry.
Oh. Hold on there. Sorry about that, John.
Not a problem. It's going to be a completely different sort of creature. Mm-hmm. We just have no way of imagining what they're like, what their technologies might be. And you know, they could be sitting there listening to the sky, you know, using X-ray devices and say, well, we're not getting any messages. On the other hand, if they do figure out something, we could be in trouble. What if they pick up old reruns of 1950s sitcoms?
Boy, we would be in trouble then.
Yeah, they're going to go redline that. You know, that's a star system. Those creatures are insane. Yeah. My mother, the car.
Oh, how about Mr. Ed?
Yeah, yeah.
Howdy doody.
Oh, they ride. Yeah, they ride these animals that talk.
All right, stand by, John. You and I have to take our final break. All right, John Wigginger is our special guest.
What if someone told you you could live to be 120? Would you believe him? What if he told you the Bible guaranteed it? All you needed to do was follow his rules and buy his products. Would you do it? What if you invested 20 years of your life in him? What if he tested his substances on your child? What if your child became brain damaged as a result? Meet Dr. Tyler Belknap, a fast-talking Texas admin turned health guru. At the helm of a vast health food and supplement empire, he has established himself as the authority on nutrition and longevity. But what his followers don't know is that his products are laced with bizarre psychoactive substances from genetically modified plants developed in his very own secret lab. No wonder his customers can't stop using them. Tyler Belknap will stop at nothing to keep his edge in the market, even if it means experimenting on children. Chasing 120, a story of food, faith, fraud, and the pursuit of longevity, a novel from the pen of political cartoonist Monty Wolverton, is an easy and entertaining read full of rich characters and intrigue. It hits home in a world filled with all kind of hucksterism and offers a glimpse of what can happen when GMO technology falls into the wrong hands. Chasing 120 by Monty Wolverton. Get your copy today at www.ptm.org/120 or on amazon.com.
Nita Hickok is an expert in exorcisms, psychic warfare, soul healing, angelology, soul retrieval, demonology, energy healing, long distance healing, astral healing, and much more. Nita is an interfaith minister because she believes all gods and goddesses are valid and that they are part of one divine force that is incomprehensible to us who are incarnated upon this earth. Nita has been doing astral healing, distant healing, spirit release, exorcism, house cleansing and blessings, soul restoring and revival, psychic vampire removal and curse removal, and much more for over 40 years. For more information or to contact Nita Hickok, visit her website at www.astralhealer.com. That's www.astralhealer.com.
Rob McConnell here, presenting an overview for Nicholas Paul Jennings, author of a fascinating book, Amen. It presents facts revealed by Egyptologists, facts that enable us to understand why Amen is the beginning of creation of God. It provides recommendations for religious leaders of the major religions to unify their beliefs and teach the word of God, love one another. Amen informs people how mankind conceived God. It was the Egyptians that developed the concepts of a soul, a hereafter, and son of God. And finally, after the worship of many gods, they conceived the belief in one universal God, the maker of all there is.
For more information, visit www.futureofgodamen.com. That's www.futureofgodamen.com.
John Michael Greer is our special guest of this hour, Exonation. His website is redroom.com/author/John-Michael-Greer. John, the way that we've been analyzing the UFO sightings and the psychology behind it, it seems that this very template could be used when it comes to Ghostbusters. It could be used when it comes to Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, crop circles.
Oh, that's crop circles in particular. I mean, that's one of those things. It very quickly became an industry, and for quite a few years, a lot of money was being made by luring credulous American tourists, mostly American tourists, to do these expensive tours. There was, I happened to be in Britain in 2003, and there was this postcard being sold fairly commonly all over the West Country in little places where they had a typical Somerset farmer, kind of hayseed type, sitting there next to a satellite dish with a pair of earphones and a stack of signs saying crop circle this way, £1 entrance fee. And the words below the picture were phoning in the order for next year's circles. I think it was pretty much open that was at a certain point it was being done.
There are so many real mysteries in this world that we take for granted. For example, Stonehenge and all the other great landmarks that you and I have discussed over the years. Do you see, to me, these are the real mysteries. And that people are spending their lives looking in the sky for UFOs that really aren't there, in my opinion, or chasing out ghosts out of graveyards looking for a Loch Ness monster that, well, don't know, haven't seen Nessie lately. And then these other phenomenon that really can't be proven when you've got so many wonderful mysteries that are so rich with history right in front of you.
And we have so many mysteries within ourselves. That's the final frontier. That's the frontier we need to be looking at. The imagination that it takes to create a mythology like the UFO myth, and to use it for all the many purposes it's been used to use it as a powerful tool of motivation for in many different ways. That's a wonder. That's something we should be studying and thinking about and learning from. We're not sitting there waiting for the guys from Zeta Reticuli to get around to landing 60 years after the fact.
They ain't coming.
They never were. There's a remarkable story to be told, and a lot of very interesting, it's a fascinating, very human story. How people, for much of the 20th century came to believe that we were being visited from other worlds. Yeah. That's one of the things I've tried to really talk about in the book.
John, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. As always, a great pleasure talking to you. Let our listeners know how they can find out about you and where they can get your books.
Well, the books can be gotten. Most of my books can be gotten online. Pretty much all of them, actually. If you go to the site that you've mentioned, www.redroom.com/author/John-Michael-Greer, there are sales links on that page to all my books, or your favorite local neighborhood bookstore will happily order things for you if they don't have them in stock. It's probably your best bet.
John, take care of yourself until you and I meet here in the X Zone in the very near future. Take care, my friend.
I look forward to another conversation.
All right, John, take care. John Michael Greer has been our guest this hour. And in the next hour, I've got a gentleman coming on who's going to tell you how to get fired from your job. Now, why anyone would want to get fired from a job is beyond me, but This is the X Zone, and we'll be back on the other side of this break. Don't go away.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.